Sunday morning study on Led's Bible contradictions. We had got down the last question on lesson six. Is Christ equal with God? We made the comments before, there's much discussion on the Godhead. A lot of false teaching, if you will, on the Godhead. It not only involves the denominations of this world, their misconception of the Godhead, there are those who claim to be members of the Lord's church who also have the false doctrine as who is in the Godhead. Even members of the Church of Christ that I know make the statement there is one God, and he manifests himself in three different people as that. So it's a misconception. A lot of these verses that we use today, we'll be repeating a lot of verses, and there's nothing wrong with repetition in repeating verses. That's a form of how we learn, is through repetition, if you will, on that. But is Christ equal with God? Equal with God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. June, if you will, read for us.
Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God.
Who being in the form of God. The context is just simply showing that Christ's humility, okay? When he came to this earth, verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He emptied himself of glory and took on the form of a bondservant, which shows humility in doing the Father's will and coming to earth. And Paul says in this, let this mind be in us that was in Christ. He had reference to is our humility in being a servant of Jesus Christ. That we are to do that of which Christ took upon the form of the servant. It says, who being or existed in the form of God, did not consider it. So at one time we understand that he existed in the form of whom? Of the Father, okay? He emptied himself of this glory. And he took upon the form of a servant, who being in the form of God, relates to the existence of Jesus or of God. He was God before his manifestation as a servant. In John 1 and verse 1. When you look at John 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. Who is it? He was with God, the Father. And he was God. It had the same meaning in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It was just worded a different way. Who being in the form of God. Whose form was he in? He was in the form of the Father. And so it's just parallel. It's just the same wording, except Paul words it a little bit different than what is recorded in the book of John. So he took upon himself the form of a servant. He came under the service of the Father. Again, you keep his mind, it was nothing that was forced upon Jesus Christ to take that. This is something that he done willingly, okay? That it said he emptied himself. Not that he was in any way forced into doing that. When you look at Philippians 2 and verse 7, Paul there says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And again, a similar statement is found in John 1 and verse 14. Again, this idea of deity and of humanity. But it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, the parallel passages, they're just simply worded a little bit different way, but have the same meaning, if you will. But it talks about in verse 6, existing in the form of God. What's your thoughts on this? If you're studying just something to study about, the word form and the word fashion is not the same man, okay? Be a good study for you. But what I talk about, he exists in the form. Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says, who, that is Christ, being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Hebrew writer says he was the expressed image of his person. Who? He was in the form of God the Father. It's having reference to what? See, when you deal with the idea, when Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, what's he having reference to?
Don't act like
something that you act like. Jesus was not acting like the Father. Jesus was God. It talks about that he was an expressed image of the Father. Any thoughts?
American Standard says the image of his substance.
Alright. Mine says the image of his person. Or the substance, which would mean what, Bellas?
Just his very makeup, I guess.
His makeup. He had all the attributes of God the Father. We as mankind have the same attributes, okay? Not just as we live in a world and we are conformed to the world and do the things of the world. It's our makeup. It's who we are. And so he was, if you will, as a father. Christ had all the essential attributes of God's nature. Person in Hebrews 1 verse 3, as Bill was pointing out, means Christ was the substance, his likeness on earth. In that he was dead. Any thoughts? Colossians 2. Verse 8 and 9, Marilyn.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Alright, again, this idea in him, that is Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in him dwells, just simply meant, in him dwells, it remains forever. The fullness of the Godhead, okay? It's something he cannot do without. Well, I don't know how I want to word that, but it remains in him forever, not dwelling in him for a time and then leaving. It remains forever. The godness, the fullness of the Godhead. The whole of the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father in him all the fullness should dwell. When it talks about the fullness, what is it talking about?
Complete attributes,
okay? Even though Philippians says he emptied himself of the position that he was in, did the attributes leave? No, he was God on earth, okay? It's something we need to remember, and this is kind of the misconception of the wisdom, the power, and the goodness of the Godhead for saving man was embodied in the visible form of Christ. He was God on earth. And so he was equal with God. But he chose for a certain time period of that of 33 years to empty himself of that position which he had with the Father. And we look at scriptures later on, it says when this was done, then he will return and occupy his original position as one in the Godhead. Any other thoughts on that one?
There's quite a few passages that talk about him being the image of God. He was an image. Then he told the Father that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
And again, I think one of the questions will deal with that, and he's not having reference that, well, I've seen Lord Kitchen here this morning. I'm not having reference that I've seen him physically. when Christ says that, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for we know in our studies, no man can see the Father or God and live. So he's not having reference to a physical sight, if you will. I think that's what may feel. Show us the Father. In reference to show us the Father physically, if I understand that passage right. And Christ says, you know, you see the Father in different ways, which I think is one of our questions this morning that we'll look at.
It's kind of like I can see you standing there, but I get to know who you are by your actions and what you do and say. So that's kind of seeing who you are.
It does. And again, you know, it wasn't nothing of the physical aspect of Christ that people looked at would tell them anything about who the Father was. Just as you pointed out, you can look at me, but only me and God knows what's in my heart. But you can see certain attributes of me or Mark or Larry or Lowell or June, anybody know what. Their actions. So it tells you something to some degree, maybe not all, but to some degree, what is in a person's heart. But the other way, that he's inferior to God. And this, and your thoughts, you know, I'm not saying I have the right thoughts on this one, but I'll give you my thoughts. You may have different thoughts. John 14 and verse 28, Brady.
You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I.
If you look at this just as a blank statement and reading, and not knowing anything about the Scriptures, how would you interpret, my Father is greater than I? That he would be inferior, not knowing. And again, this is what these individuals come up with, this alleged contradiction. But again, there's passages that you have to look at. If this is a true statement, there would be nothing else that would contradict this statement. Is that correct? When you turn back to Philippians chapter 2, in verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be what? Equal with God. How? In all substance. Okay? So, if you're going to look at that, then you've got this. Well, how are you going to harmonize those two? Because if that statement was true, that the Father is greater than I, there would be no other passage that would contradict that particular statement. But there's more than this one, okay? So I think we understand that.
CEO?
Yes?
Maybe even greater, I don't know about here, but like, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, the first couple of verses talk about how the Father, and then the Son, and then the man, and then the woman, like they have different roles. I don't say superiority, but just different. We fall in different areas there. And I don't know that it makes him greater, but I'm just saying it sounds like of that the Father, I don't want to say over, but it sounds like the Son is under him.
Verse 6 there says, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. When he's in the context, he's talking of the form, his image. He can be equal in image with God, but that doesn't mean God is inferior to him, or God still is superior, still his Father.
This idea that in the deal of 1 Corinthians 11, that the head of Christ is God, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of woman is man. This subjection, okay? But the substance is there. It's just what they took where they're at. That the Father planned. Christ brought that plan into recognition. The Holy Spirit revealed it to the apostles. Again, this idea of God.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay, so right now Christ is reigning.
Mm-hmm.
because of what he done,
right,
what he received for his sacrifice. But after, you know, the earth is destroyed, then he will turn all power back over to the Father. So are we saying there is no, they're all completely equal? If they are, we all have to admit we don't ever give the Holy Spirit any credibility. You know, we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Father, but very seldom is the Holy Spirit given thanks for. You know, and I'm just saying, you know, that's...
Yeah, I agree that, you know, what I'm saying, though, is the idea of we as mankind are the same substance.
We're all equal.
Okay, we're all equal in that. The same as God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal in substance. They're all powerful. They're all knowing.
Deity.
Yeah, all that. But in the lineage where that's lined up, it was the Father's plan. He's the one coming with this. And the other two carried the Father's plan out. It's this line that we're in subjection to. It's my understanding, unless someone has anything different on that. But the verse you're talking about, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, says, then comes the end when he delivers, that is Christ, the kingdom of God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. And at that particular time, he will resume his role before he came there in subjection to the Father. But that don't take away from his deity. And that's what we need to understand on that.
Yeah, because verse 28 says that now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him.
Okay, so you had this idea in Philippians chapter 2 that Christ emptied himself. He's done something that he's going to deliver the Father back to the kingdom after his time period on earth is up. And so he is going to once again be in subjection, if you will, to the Father. In John 6 and verse 38, Christ, John there quoting Christ says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me," and that being the Father. The Father, if you will, had a job or a task that he was to do, and the Son carried that out. During this time on earth, as we pointed out, that Christ is equal with God, he had a task to do on earth. He was flesh. He was made flesh. And man seen it. During this time, he emptied himself of that glory that he had with the Father. And he becomes subservient to the Father while on earth. During this time, that we looked in John 14, verse 28, my Father is greater than I. My thought says he's having this time that he was on earth, that his Father was greater than him, because he emptied himself of that and took upon the form of a servant.
Kind of sounds like me, like I'm equal with my boss, but I'm under subjection to my boss. I mean, I don't think they're a greater person, but I'm still under subjection.
In what your boss does, he is greater than you.
Yeah.
Now, that's my... Anybody have anything different? I'm not saying that's the correct interpretation of it. But I know it has to be harmonized when Paul records it. Christ said, I'm equal with the Father.
He was given authority. That means that the Father possessed it. So the Father possesses and gives. So
it's one of those times when you have to ask the question. When we talk about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit dwelling in a person, we always say, well, it's not a question whether he does or not, but how does he? There's no question that Jesus is equal to the Father. The question is how. Like in the Lord himself said, Matthew 28:18, that all power or authority was given to him. And there's a number of passages that talk about God being above all and in all and through all, like in Ephesians 4. So in that passage you talked about earlier, some other ones did in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus, even when he would give back or deliver up the kingdom to the Father, then he would be subject to the Father. And so God is above all. There's no going above Him.
Right. The writer of Hebrews 2 and verse 9 records, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every man. So, in this, he was placed a little bit lower than the angels. When resuming, we mixed in throughout, I can call the angels or whoever, but the Hebrew writer says he was placed a little bit lower. His position, while on earth, and to me, that's when he said that my Father is greater than I, even the angels, because of where he was at and what was he was accomplished at this time, that he emptied himself of that, of which he will once again resume that position when time is no more. And so that's kind of the thoughts on that. Does anybody differ on that? He took the form of a servant. Lesson 7. You have your sheets. Like I say, some of this will be repetition. I think a lot of things we've done cover because the questions or whatever, the alleged contradiction or worried just, if you will, just a little bit different. Is Christ God? Again, we've studied that already, but we will look at these on that. Acts 20 and verse 28. Ethan? Yeah.
Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
And I assume in this verse that they're talking about that he purchased, they're having reference that he is the Son of God, and he purchased the church with his blood. When you look, and Merlin made reference to, both Christ and the Holy Spirit are all called God in the Scriptures. And Donnie has pointed out over time past that hence they were in the Godhead. In 1 John 5, the verse we're all familiar with, in verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And you'll notice that the writer of John places these in order of how they come. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He does not get the Word before the Father. Again, this line of, if you will, subjection. But he places them in that order. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was Jesus Christ. Again, he is called God. 17 and verse 5 of John. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was, in that he was God. Glorify him once again. Of course, his life is shortly coming to an end here upon earth as we get into John chapter 17 through the remainder of this chapter. And he soon will meet the death upon the cross. And shortly after that, he will ascend back to the Father to assume all authority and power that the Father would give him. And he was to be head over all except the Father was not his objective. But everything else was. And everyone else was. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, once again, he'll give that authority up. And the Father will be authority over all. And all will be in subjection to him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all distinct from one another. Now, I mention this in the task that they were to do. There's the Father's will. The Son brought that will into the world. After he ascended, that task was given over to the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles in all Scripture, that they would record those Scriptures correct. And so when I have reference to that, they were distinct from one another in that their task that was given them. But each, again, was essence in nature, their makeup, if you will. One God, three persons. If we looked at, there was one God shown in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, the Lord our God is one. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, for us there is but one God. These ideas of these three people. And again, we looked earlier that we've seen the interaction of these three in Matthew chapter 3 at the baptism of Jesus. The Father spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. John baptized Christ, and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. Again, these three interactions of these three individuals that make up the Godhead and what they've done. 1 Peter 1. Verses 18 and 19, Jacob.
Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life but inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ.
Again, when you look at this, we worship one Trinity, one God, one Trinity. The account here shows the part Christ had in our redemption. It mentions that the precious blood of Christ, that was His work that the Father gave Him to do, that He was to die upon the cross. Go back to verse 12. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you, to those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. There's the work of the Holy Spirit. So you have those of what their task in our salvation, or the work in our salvation was. The Father sent the Son. He was to shed His blood. The Holy Spirit was to make that revelation of what we must do to be saved. In John 17, verse 3, Christ makes a simple statement. I have finished the work which my Father gave me to do. And that was His sacrifice upon the cross. Any thoughts on that? The Christ, the Son of God. The Father, the only God. John 17, verse 3, right?
And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Again, talk about Christ, make sure that you're the only true God, and Jesus Christ, kind of like say, repent and be baptized. He's not excluding Himself as a God, okay? But I assume they take this verse when He says that you are the only true God, that there's the Father only. This verse, the context, if you will, is just simply teaching that God sent Christ with words that gave eternal life. God sent His Son, which would be in contrast of that which man could give. There was nothing man could offer on earth from the priest, from the high priest, those of the old law could give any word that would give man eternal life. It took an act of God, the Father from heaven, to send His Son for that purpose. 1 John 8 and verse 4. Again, we looked at there is one God. John 14. Verses 9 through 11. Christ there tells Philip asked in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father. It's sufficient for us. Jesus said, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. In what way? Well, it was not that Philip had not seen Christ, okay? We're not having that reference to the physical aspect of his seeing. He said, have I been so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? So the question that Christ is asking, Have I been so long with you? You've seen all that I've done, the words that I've preached, the miracles that I have performed. Why do you ask to show us the Father? I've shown him to you, but not in the way that Philip was wanting him shown. It's not an idea, you know, I see certain things in Tammy's life. It shows me something about it. It's not something that we look at physically, if you will. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Then he says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Again, this that the Father gave him to speak. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. So the idea that the words that I speak, because of that, the Father dwells, he talks about, does the work. So the relationship of the Father to the Son. He was to know of the words that Christ spoke and the miracles that he performed was to convince them who he was. And it did a lot. But many more than that, it did not. And so, he's not having reference to the Father is the only one, the true God, but that what the Father sent the Son to do.
We should look at each other and see Christ in us.
True. Our time's up. Any thoughts? If you will, Mark, is Christ omnipresent? We'll start, Lord's willing, next Sunday.